Well, hello everyone. It's Friday night, the 21st of February, and happy Washington's birthday. A little late by the time you get it. This is the third time I've started this tape. I stopped and cleaned the heads. I don't know what's wrong with it. I know Kath used it this afternoon, and she didn't say anything was wrong with it. So I guess I'll go ahead and try it and see if it's working all right now. Yeah, it seems to be okay. Maybe that's what it needed. Or maybe the microphone cord needs to be straightened out. Anyhow, it is Friday evening, and I thought I'd make a tape out to you. I have the duty. I haven't got a case so far, knock on wood. We're on our way up the line to Wonder Beach. We'd been in Da Nang for 3 days, but I didn't get off the ship this time. And for a number of reasons, and which I'll go on and explain. However, this time we'll be up at Wonder Beach for about 12 or 14 days because the sanctuary, 12 days, I guess, sanctuary is going to Subic, and then, of course, by the next time we go into port, it'll be time for me to take the rest of my gear in and get a ship because I'll be leaving the ship. I still don't know what my plans are. I'll have to talk to the chief nurse. Everything depends upon, you know, how the Tet Offensive is going. So far, it's going pretty well. We're not, they're still fighting and everything. We did hear that they had the Tiger Mount, but then we heard that wasn't true, so I honestly can't tell you whether we own it or we don't have it or what we've got. Let's see, as far as telling what's going on, I told you that we were into Da Nang. This is Wednesday. Must have been Wednesday Tuesday we were on our way down, coming down to Da Nang. And we hadn't had any mail in a couple of days because the choppers can't always get up there. And the mail plane was coming in. The mail chopper was coming in. And they, you know, announced flight quarters, stand by to receive mail. And all of a sudden we heard helo over the side, helo over the side, which means that the helicopter was going down. Of course, they sent the crash boat crews out right away. Well, I couldn't go because I had a case on the table. Everybody ran to see what was going on. But as it turned out, that this chopper that they had was apparently, if whatever happened, I don't know, but it lost power and started to go into the drink. And as it did, the only way that the pilot could lighten the aircraft was to throw all our mail over the side, which if out here is a disaster because everybody looks forward to mail. However, if there's a choice between the mail and the pilot, you know, everyone would rather have the mail go than the pilot. So it went over the side, and then but they're inflatable bags, clearly marked bags. So as he threw it out, he was able to gain altitude and able to hover and finally able to land. Poor thing was really upset, I understand. And we sent boats out immediately, and they retrieved the 25 boxes and 25 bags of mail. I got some wet letters and a few things like that. But anyhow, when they got them back, there was some of the packages were just beyond any help. You know, they were just absolutely gone. But then the we were kidding about it and said that they should take them down to the autoclave, you know, where we sterilize our equipment down in the central supply next to the OR. I said that to the XO, and everybody kind of laughed. It wasn't my idea, I must admit. It was one of the other men's idea, and because we have a vacuum. So they said, well, let's try it. Anyhow, the mail was so wet that they couldn't even separate it. So they brought it down the autoclave, and I said, well, that's a first in history that they dried out the mail and the sterilizers, but at least there were only maybe two letters that they couldn't make out who they belonged to, so or two or three, and I think that's pretty good considering all the mail. And in it, I got the letter from Phyllis telling me about the new car, and of course I think that's wonderful, and I think it's very, very generous of you, Alice, to be so kind to them. And she said how much they appreciated it and how very grateful they were. And I forget what else she said, but anyhow, she was seemed to be very grateful. And Oh, and there was a tape from you, and everyone said don't put the tape on. In fact, I wondered if she ran the tapes on this thing. I told her not to unless she wiped them off, because the man said the salt water would rest the heads. So I told she had three tapes. I told her not to run them unless she, you know, she cleaned them off. And two of the men said that the best way to do it would be to unravel the tape, and so one put one end on a reel and the other put the other one, and they dried the whole tape for me before I listened to your story about how bad the snow was and everything. So I just checked this again. It seems to be working all right still. So I was glad that I was at least able to hear the tape, and in it I'm trying to think of the things that you said. Gee, it sounds like there was really an awful lot of snow, and of course I'm very glad that you had somebody shovel. I wouldn't go out and shovel that stuff for anything. It's too much. And then, wouldn't you know that it would all blow from Karen's into your yard, though? And you mentioned about the tape recorder. Well, your tape recorder was fine on that. I just think that maybe at the time that some of those tapes, maybe somebody was jiggling the microphone or banging it against something. That's what it sounded like, or maybe a loose wire. I don't know. You know, I'm no mechanics expert. And then the other thing that I wanted to mention to you was about the car. You said about the car having the, or I got a note from Mom telling me that the car would have the defroster and all that stuff. Really, I when I made the tape, I wasn't complaining in any sense of the word. You know, whatever you had decided would be fine. I certainly would not be one to complain. And about it, I'm very grateful, and whatever they get is just fine, I'm sure. I don't know that I told you that some of the people, the Alliance, oh, I guess I told you about that, coming around for Tet, giving out the gifts. I can't remember what I tell and what I don't tell. They came, I did get a plaque, but I gave it away. It was nothing I would particularly care to have in my house. I have enough junk, right? As I said, we went into Da Nang, and the first night there was a party at the place called the Polish Cannon Club. It's at Tenshaw, which is one of the bases in Da Nang, and it's a Polish Cannon Officers Club, and it's not, well, I have to tell you what a Polish cannon is, first of all. I didn't know, but as you know, elephants are the big thing out here. And they have a stone elephant where we often go. And this, the emblem for this club is an elephant with a cannonball in his trunk. And behind him is a little man with two sharp sticks or knives or swords or something, ready to stick the elephant in the rump so that, you know, he'll toss the cannonball. And this is what they call a Polish cannon. I'm sure it's after those Polish jokes. So some of the kids went over there. I didn't go. I've told you before, I'm not enthusiastic about some of these things. Many more of the girls have gone or went. Many more are going since they're not obligatory, since we're not forced to attend these affairs. They're more willing to go, like everything else. You know, if you put it on that basis that you may or you have a right to refuse, then people will go. And they said they had a nice time. And the only thing that was maybe the least bit questionable is this captain we have. You know, I don't think he's got all his gear topside. There's fighting on the beach, and you can stand and watch the mortars and everything, you know, and watch the rockets. We were watching the rockets one night, and it's like having the front view with the movies. And he decided they had a busload of them, that they'd take the busload up to Monkey Mountain. You know, you've heard me talk about Marble Mountain. Well, there's Monkey Mountain, too. And it's a darn good thing they didn't go over a landmine or anything. You know, it really isn't very safe. And I am inclined to agree with a couple of the girls that don't go because they say they're too short to have anything happen to them. And I'm not putting myself in a position. I mean, I would not want to go up to Monkey Mountain. It's not safe, and I would not want to take the chance. But they'd all been drinking, you know, and they had lots of bravado, and they went. Fortunately, nothing happened. And but everything went well. It sounds like I'm being very critical of their parties and all, but I, you know, Well, the next day, that was last night, yesterday, they were going to go to the Stone Elephant to a party, and one of the men asked me if I, well, the man that teaches me Spanish, if I would like to go, and I sort of, you know, happened to say no, but then he said, well, why don't you never go, and it might be nice, and so I said, okay, and about 5 or 10 minutes before I was going to go down and get the boat, he called and said that the captain was going to go along, wanted to discuss business, or wanted to, you know, work, and I said, well, I'm not interested in going, and he said, well, I wish you would anyway, and I just said, no, because if I'm going out for a good time, I don't want to sit and have to talk about work. I mean, it's very distasteful to me that people come up to me in the wardroom and off duty, and I get quite aggravated, and I'm sure it shows, and asks me if they can schedule a case 3 weeks from now. You know, like I'm supposed to have the scheduling book memorized. And I get, I don't like that. And of course, I usually tell them I don't know what's down the schedule. So I declined and said that I was sorry, but I really didn't feel that I wanted to go and listen to shop talk all night long. So I didn't get to go, which was okay. Mary Easter went. She said that he did start, you know, talking about shop, and she told him, she said, oh, for heaven's sakes, we're out for a good time. Talk about something else, will you? So we didn't have that. And then, but anyhow, I stayed on board. It was muggy last night. Today it's very cool. In fact, we're supposed to get some bad weather. But I went out and watched with my binoculars for a while. I have a nice pair that I got over here. And you know, I got John up here. Well, mine aren't as strong, but they're very good. And it's quite interesting to watch the different ships in the harbor, you know, the Korean ships. And I was surprised at how many Korean vessels are in the harbor. And one of the girls that works in my department has learned semaphore since she's been on board. You know, that's what the hand signals, you know, to when they're signaling one another from ships. And she was trying to get the attention of a riverboat, a patrol boat, what they call swift boats, that go around and make sure there are no mines and everything around. And she wanted to ride in. So I was looking through my binoculars, and it was kind of funny. As I was looking down at the riverboat, my binoculars, they were looking up at us in their binoculars. So I waved, and they waved, and I motioned to them to come alongside, and they did. And sure enough, Shirley got off and went for a ride, but I was playing the role of chief nurse. The chief nurse was gone again. She takes more time off, and they kid her, but they're not kidding about it. They're serious, you know. They're going to dock her for leave and all this business. And she went into Da Nang for 2 days, I guess. I don't care. It leaves me in charge, and sometimes it leaves me with some problems, but nothing that I can't handle. So, Troy Donahue came aboard too one day this week. I didn't get to see him either. I was busy. Well, I'm always down there working, you know, when these people come aboard. And they don't come down to my shop. They're afraid they might see something gory. So we had quite a time of it, really. I mean, I enjoyed looking out through the binoculars. It was kind of pleasant. And they brought me back a drink in this little plastic bottle, a gin and tonic, but of course when it got back to the ship, the tonic was all, the fizz had gone out of it, so I deposited it down the sink. But it was a nice thought of them, you know, to do something like that. You have to have something to keep you from going crazy. I said, I've gotten to reading the menus. And I said, what does it mean when you're getting to read the menus? And they said, you're getting bored. Well, I'm not knitting anymore, and I've stopped reading, and I still have the Spanish classes, but I suppose I do have a little more, I wouldn't say.